you that I have an anxiety issue?
Hello and welcome to The Kind, The Creative and The Chaotic with me, your host and secret superhero, Kelly Jade. And I'm joined by sound guy and fan favourite, Mr. Wayne Naylor.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm alright.
Do you have any projects coming up?
Not really, no. I mean, I just started writing a script and it's the most I've ever written so far.
Cool.
And it's not even really about anything. No one dies in it. There's no aliens. There's not a creature. Like, it's actually kind of weird. It's just very normal.
Is it like a rom-com or something?
Yeah. Yeah, weird enough, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I will preface it. It's going to be way sadder than a rom-com because, you know, I'm living that sad boy life, but, you know.
Okay.
You know.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah, so, who knows what happens with that and where it will go, but hey, it's a thing.
And you forgot something else that we're working on, Wayne.
Oh, yeah, so we're doing like a video project. I'm not sure how much we can say. I mean, like, you can probably talk a bit more about it.
Good. I like the fact you said that. But yes. Now, I know you love listening to our tantalizing voices, but now you'll also be able to watch it. We are working on a little something which is hopefully out fairly soon, so keep an eye on our Insta and please do support, share, comment and be enthusiastic as Harry Styles fans when he decides to tweet once every 5 months. You can find us at @thekind_thecreative_thechaotic on Instagram. Another thing we've been looking forward to is today's guest. Now, talk about a superstar DJ. She has warmed up for the likes of Liam Gallagher, Tiny Temper, Kate Nash, played sets for Reading Festival, is a gang member and resident DJ for Suicide Girls, also a resident for the UK's biggest club night, Propaganda, has spun for high-profile events and brands from Fashion Week to Netflix to Cosmo Mag to Machino, and my personal favourite, has DJed a private party for the one and the only Beyoncé. Ladies and gents, gender fluid, gender queer, transgender, two-spirit, plus, and those that don't want to label themselves at all, we have Gem Precious!
Hi!
I think that is probably the best intro yet.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That was impressive stuff. Yeah.
Right, and that's you.
Yeah.
I mean, you say so myself.
Oh, I thought you meant you. I thought you meant your introduction.
So, we've got to talk about the Beyoncé thing. Are you allowed to?
Yeah.
So, how did
there are snipers on us right now.
It was about 5 years ago, so yeah.
Okay, and then how did that come about and what was it like?
So that was at the O2 Arena. She was doing her Mrs. Carter tour.
Yes.
And me and my partner, Joe Atari, you may know him. we got asked to DJ this private event and they sort of didn't tell us much about it. And then during the day, it was on the day, they were like, okay, so this is the deal. The event is, it's an after party for Beyoncé, Jay-Z, and Beyoncé's whole team, a whole creative team, basically. So you're going to be spinning that. And then they basically just said, don't play any Beyoncé, don't play any Jay-Z. Other than that, just
do what you want.
Yeah.
So just when you put on the funky chicken.
Yeah, exactly. we weren't like allowed to meet them, like, because like with the Brooklyn Bowl, they've got like their own kind of like private bowling lane. Have you been there? There's quite a few lanes and it's like a private one, so they were kind of in there, but they kept sending she sent her assistants over to me and they were just like, okay, so can you play some Rick Ross? I mean, that's a terrible accent, please don't judge my American accent, but yeah.
I think it's pretty good. So could you see her? I sound like a creep now, but
yeah. Seem to be enjoying it, so that's good. We played lots of old school hip hop, but you know, basically, and then some R&B as well, and just kind of
best way to go.
A lot of US stuff mainly.
Yeah.
Some kind of, you know, 90s, a bit of 80s, and noughties, obviously quite a lot of that. So Just a mixture, really, kind of hip-hop greatest hits, you know.
I feel like you want to say something, Wayne.
No, I'm just so taken aback by the fact that I'm just picturing Beyonce listening to Rick Ross singing, rapping along to Scheming. I'm like, oh my God, French Montana's part. Like,
you better believe
like,
it.
Wow, okay.
And when they told you finally that it was Beyonce, like, had we nervous? Did like all the blood drain from your face, or were you just like, oh my God, amazing, I get to do this?
Yeah, it was kind of incredible. Yeah, we were really nervous, like the whole, because it was only on the day that we found out, so we didn't have that much time to get nervous.
Yeah.
So we were just like basically putting together playlists. So I still got like Beyonce playlists on my laptop still from that. I'm like, Beyonce, what would Beyonce like, you know? Yeah. So,
but that's mad, like, yeah. Not a lot of people in the world can say that they've DJed for Beyonce.
Yeah. She liked a bit of Schoolboy Q, a bit of Kendrick Lamar, you know, that's what we got asked for, stuff like that, so. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so you work with quite a few high profile, well, events and people, and is it something that you have to build yourself up for, or are you used to it now? Like, did you have to build yourself up at the beginning?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like anything. Like, it takes a while to get to where you want to be. And I think what I would say is, like, always take opportunities that come up. Like, anything that you're offered, you know, like, just really think about it. You know, think about taking something, even if it's a little bit different to where you kind of want to be. Because you don't know where one opportunity will lead. It might lead on to something else, kind of a domino effect.
Totally.
But, yeah, at the beginning, obviously, like, when you get big things, big stage. You know, first big stage I did, I think, was O2 Academy Islington.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite early in my career. I got picked up for Propaganda. It's about 800 cap, I think. But so first time caught on a stage, you're really aware that you are on show.
Yeah.
So you're really aware that people are all looking at you, and you've kind of got to do something. You've got to be like, and you can't just sort of stand there and mix. It's a different thing to being in a club where you're, you know, sort of not on show. You're just in a booth and you can kind of do your thing, you know. When you're on show, you're like, hi guys, it's Jen Precious.
Although
it took me a while to find my name, but yeah.
Because I guess you are yourself, but you also have to create a kind of brand and how you want to be represented, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you kind of always have to be on form.
Yeah, yeah.
In character or whatever.
Yeah, people book Jen Precious. They don't book Gemma. You know, they're like, Jen Precious in the house. Yeah. And I get booked for a lot of like emceeing as well as DJing. So you kind of have to be quite enthusiastic and on form, kind of. Essentially, when you're booked for an event, it doesn't matter what it is, you've got to be on form, you know.
Yeah, because you do was it pancakes and prosecco on Sundays at, is it Duo in Camden?
Yeah, Duo.
And so I feel like you get quite involved with the audience there, don't you?
Yeah, so I host that. It's like unlimited pancakes, unlimited prosecco for like 2 hours, which is, you know, pretty good. and then we actually host lip sync battles as well. So how would I explain it? It's just, you know what lip syncing is. It's just miming along to a song. It's kind of what we all do all the time. Yeah. So in my intro, I'm like, come on, guys. I know you do this when you're getting ready to go out, you know, in your bedroom, in the shower, you know, public transport. We're all doing it. We're all, you know, we've all been on TikTok. We're all lip syncing like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of just, you know, playing into that and getting people to kind of have a little bit of fun with their brunch so that it makes it more interactive for them and they get something a little bit extra out of it.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
So. Like, they're allowed to get up and do the spritz if they want.
We have had that, yeah. Yeah. You still need to come as well. You guys
both
come, definitely.
Yeah, I do really need to come because you've been doing that for a few years now. I have to say, you are definitely somebody that lives up to their name, both the gem and the preciousness.
Thanks, I think.
especially for the industry that you work in, because unfortunately, I've met some very fake people in the DJ game, and I hate to say female DJ game, but you're always so genuine. Regarding other female DJs, and I'm not saying everyone and all of them, because you are one, but how do you work with and around negative or like hierarchy behaviour?
With other DJs?
Yeah.
First thing I'd say is I try not to kind of categorise myself as a female DJ.
Mm-hmm.
I try to say that I'm a DJ, because
mm-hmm.
I find that sometimes the label of a kind of female DJ is a little bit... I don't know, it can have negative and positive connotations.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are like, you know, oh, it's a female DJ, we'll book them because they're a female DJ.
Yeah.
And other people are like, oh, it's a female DJ, we don't want to book them because they're a female DJ. So I try just to say I'm a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was listening to like it was like an interview with like Annie Mack or something, and she was like, yeah, she just basically says that she's a DJ and she doesn't like to say female DJ. And I like that kind of idea, you know, just being like, you know, I'll DJ, you know, whoever I DJ after, it's like it's all equal, you know, so we go in.
I mean, I didn't particularly want to put like sex in front of a job title, but I just sometimes find that boys kind of refuse that girls can work in music. And like, do you know what I mean? That like you must get that quite a lot.
Yeah, it can be a boys' club, like totally. Yeah. You know, so that can be a bit difficult, I think, at first to kind of, you know, especially if you're starting out in the game. It's quite, it's still one of those industries that is very still male heavy, male dominated. Mm-hmm. So you know, and you have to really know your stuff before you kind of do it, I think, because if you don't, it's quite easy to kind of, you know,
pick at.
Yeah, exactly. But as far as other female DJs, I think it can be because it. It depends what you're doing as well. It depends what type of DJ you are. You know, you can kind of, some people do like a lot of events and things. Some people do more kind of club stuff. I do a massive mixture. I kind of do everything. Makes so I meet a lot of different types of people, which is nice. Yeah. But yeah, I've never really had any negative experience with like any other DJs. Like,
that's really
you know,
good.
That I know. Yeah. Let's put it that way, you know.
So, yeah. Because I guess like if you're all having to work together and stuff, it can really affect the mood and your performance, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's like in any job. If someone's there, like, throwing their weight around or thinking that they're better than someone else, like, it just doesn't help anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Back to males' points of view with female DJs. Once again, not all. I'm guessing it's not always members of the public either. Like, I guess there's, like, a lot of them behind the decks or, like, you know, people working on the stage or whatever and, like, mansplaining. Do you ever get that?
Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of guys come up to me when I'm DJing, and I don't know if they're kind of fascinated because I do a lot of mixing and scratching, and you know, I do quite sort of complicated sets. So,
yeah.
So they, sometimes they'll come and they'll just stand there at the other side of the booth and they'll watch. They'll just be like, you know, if you're in a club where you can kind of get to the booth, they'll just be like, oh, that's and I go, hi, can I help you? Are you okay? Do you want a song? And they'll always go, oh yeah, actually, I'm just watching. I'm a DJ too. And I go,
okay.
Let me guess, techno DJ. And they go, how did you know? But no offense to techno DJs, because that is a banging genre. But you know, yeah, I think a lot of guys do like house music, that kind of, you know. It's I don't know, I think they find it, it's very easy to be kind of more creative with,
yes.
I'd say, I think.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, it's so much to choose from. And you can kind of be a bit more melodic and sonic about the music that you play, I suppose, rather than, you know, I don't know. No, where I'm going with this.
And so when, for example, when a guy is like watching you, do you take it as a compliment, or do you sometimes feel a bit like anxious that somebody's just staring at you?
I mean, I won't lie, it's a bit annoying, isn't it? Like, if someone's watching you and you're just doing your work, and you're like, imagine if you were at work at an office and someone just came up to you and just started staring at you while you're doing your spreadsheet or something, and you just be like, can I help you? Like, what are you, what are you doing? It's okay as long as they're not negative. Like, I've had a lot of, you know, I've had. Not too many, but I've had a few people over the years be sort of, you know, say like, oh, I'm better than you, I'm a proper DJ. And I'm like,
what does that even mean?
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't mean anything. You know, you can be a proper DJ if you play 1 gig a month, if you play 10 gigs a month, if you play, you know, 100 gigs. You can't fit that in a month, but you know what I mean? Like, you could pretty much.
Depends how long the gigs are.
If you love music and you want to play it out, then you're a DJ. You know, like, I think people can be kind of a little bit like, precious, ironically, about what a DJ is and what it isn't. And yeah,
well, I think things like that always come from somebody else's ego, and like when they feel threatened, because like, what, why else would it be an issue that somebody is a good DJ?
Exactly. Yeah.
So
sorry, can I start? So these and I guess I'll call them DJ inspectors, have they got like clipboards? Are they just sort of like real professional, just like
ticking it off?
You know, it was good technique, but you know, I'm just not feeling it. I'm gonna have to revoke your DJing credentials. I'm really sorry about this. Just like, is it that kind of case, or is it just literally, oh, just some sort of dickhead?
Yeah, I mean, I think mostly, dickheads. But I like the idea of a DJ inspector. Maybe there should be a DJ inspector that kind of goes around and checks
properly,
people, like doing it properly. Like, how are you using the sync button? Turn it off now. I'm going to write that down on my clipboard.
They come up with a tape measure. Ooh, this isn't regulation.
Yeah,
Gonna have to report you. Gonna have to
is
report.
That a low quality MP3 I hear? Report.
FLAC only.
So this is starting to go over my head now. I obviously don't know how to teach it. Going back to gender again. Mm-hmm. So we said it can kind of work both ways. Sometimes you'll get a gig because you are female, which can be great, but sometimes not. So it's a bit of a catch-22 situation, isn't it?
Yeah. It can go either way, I think.
And do you find you get booked more just for being a DJ, or is it still like a high, so you know how actors go for things, because they ask for like a 35 year old black female or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it, are DJ descriptions like that as well, or do they just go, we need someone fun?
Yeah, that's really interesting actually, because yeah, most of the time obviously it's just like you get booked. Either they book me because they want to book me because they like me as a DJ.
Yeah.
Or it can be like, I have had like, you know, female DJ needed, you know. Mm. And then I've even had a couple of venues, which I don't play anymore because I don't really like this kind of thing, where they'd be like, right, you need to wear high heels and a dress for the gig. And, you know, and I don't like that kind of thing. I think I did a couple there and I was just like, I'm not going to name it, but yeah, I don't think that's cool. I don't think it's cool to dictate what women wear, because you wouldn't go to a guy, you know, like you've got to wear what you've got to wear. I mean, I suppose smart clothes, but I don't see why you should be wearing like, you know, really high heels if you've got to stand there for like 4 or 5 or even 6 hours. Like that's kind of...
I mean, I was going to say, because I love your style and you wear bright things and patterns and just like you always rock it your own way. And I thought that that might be the case in some places where they expect you to dress a certain way because you're a girl.
I had one gig that I did like a while back, and they stopped booking me because I said I wasn't quite corporate enough.
I hate that,
you know. It's like sort of
as a DJ,
who wants to be a corporate DJ anyway,
you know,
right?
Some of the kind of West End places, like some of them are quite very kind of, you know, like they want someone very very, I don't know if they kind of just more want someone to just sort of stand there and
pretend to
lovely and just kind of, you know, represent their brand, I suppose. They just want someone kind of, you know, who looks like I don't know what their idea of what a DJ should look like, I guess. I don't
and
know
just
what that
like
is,
press the button and pretend to be doing things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know any people that do them and just kind of, you know, we just get on with it if you have something like that, but yeah, you know, it's not very fun, is it?
No. But honestly, corporate DJ, who wants the word corporate attached to them? Come on.
I'm just imagining a DJ who's just like, yeah, my likes are, I just really love the uniform. I love a good uniform for DJing. Actually, I can't DJ without a uniform. Yeah. I need specific clothing.
What would
can't
a DJ uniform look like, do you think?
Ooh.
A cap.
A cap, yeah.
Yeah, some street clothing of some kind.
I feel like a bit of Dow Boy when they open the jacket and they've got different, like... things like in there,
like headphones, USB, link cables, or cables.
I'm honestly like kind of hype beastish, like, you know, just a lot of like Palace and Off-White and Supreme, and just like, you know, it's like, is it the 90s? Are you dressing in Supreme? Okay, so, Supreme. Okay, cool.
I think you're right. I think, yeah, DJ uniform wise, I've seen a lot of that.
So we've actually also had two other DJs on the show, Boy and a Girl, Josh Mooney and Katie Owen. I think you know Katie. And they both kind of complained as well about the general public being the worst. So I also wanted to ask you, you both laughing your head off, but it's the truth. We all know it's the truth. How do you deal with drunk or just rude people?
Oh, I mean, on the whole, I love the general public. You know, I'm there for them, basically.
Did I sound like Margaret Thatcher then?
No, I will not play Come On Eileen.
I mean, I will not come play Come On Eileen, but yeah. I think, yeah, as far as, you know, requests and things go, I'm happy to take requests, because for me, a request kind of gives you an idea of what people want. You know, it's really helpful. I mean, I can kind of scan a room and pretty much tell what they want to hear. Because I'm open format, I play a lot of different things. So
that's
I'm kind
a skill
of
in itself.
Yeah, I like to think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. but yeah, like some people, obviously, like if they are rude, I'm just really ultra polite to them. You know, I do this smile and I go... okay, yeah. All right. Okay, if they really request, sorry, you can't see the smile, obviously, because it's not filmed, but it's sort of like a little bit patronising, kind of with a head nod, but without them realising it's patronising, you sort of just go, okay, I'll have a look for that. I'll see if I can find it. Either I haven't got it or I have got it and I won't play it, but, you know, I'm going to be polite to them because I don't want to ruin their evening. If they get a bit aggressive, then, you know, you can just kind of be like, okay, you know, you need to step away from the decks, step back.
I think it's also quite hard, like, the people that are going to get aggressive and rude when someone's just smiling don't really want them in your bar anyway,
I mean, that's the thing, if anyone gets too aggro, you can just like nod to security, you know, and they'll deal with them, escort them off the premises into the outside world. So
obviously some people are the worst, but have you had any members of the public that have just been the best, like on the dance floor, or just really like excitable?
Yeah,
I feel like you have.
Do you know what? It's really nice when someone feels your vibe and they ask for something that you like as well, that or just something that's in that general vibe. Because you'd be surprised how sometimes you'll be playing something and someone will ask for like a completely different genre, completely different era, something that just like literally does not go, like you say, like Come on Eileen or something.
Dido.
You know, and you're Dido. Yeah, you know,
play some Dido.
Yeah, you're playing AJ Tracy and someone comes up to you and asks for Dido and you just literally want to kill them. Or yourself, possibly. So I think it's just, when people really, you know, kind of they feel the vibe and then they're part of it and they give you a really good request and you're like, yes, 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 we can do this. This is going to be an amazing night, you know.
Yeah.
Or like you say, when someone has really good skills, that's always quite fun. Someone starts breakdancing. Have you ever seen Joe breakdancing?
No.
He's got a couple of moves.
Oh my God. I'm going to request that you film him and we can share it with the listeners. So looking forward to that, Joe. Very skilled man.
Yeah.
So obviously to be a breakdancer, though, you have to be on form. Also, DJ. Do you always feel up for it, and how do you keep your mental space positive? Do you have any tips on how to keep going?
That's really interesting. No, I don't always feel up for it. Like sometimes I'm just like, oh, I'm really tired or I'm ill, but I'm one of these people, like, I don't think I've ever missed a gig from being ill. Like I would never cancel a gig last minute, or I would never, you know, I would always dose myself up with something, you know. Have a cheeky little whiskey or something when you get there. That always helps if you've got a cold.
Yeah.
That's always a good one. I mean, I like to kind of get, when I'm getting ready to go out, you know, I always listen to kind of, you know, music I like to get me in a happy mood.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good thing, you know. It doesn't matter about what you're going to be playing, but it's what you like that can kind of hype you up, you know.
100%.
So,
and yeah. The hours that you work as well, that's must affect your moods.
Yeah, it does. Always take snacks. Because you never know, like, all my gigs are normally, well, they range kind of from, you know, if it's a 1 hour kind of guest set, or it could be like a sort of 5-6 hour kind of long resident type set. So it could be really long. So if it's a long set, always take like a snack, because you never know, because you might need that like sugar rush or, you know, boost or something.
100%.
And that really, really helps, you know. So.
I mean, it's kind of sometimes, I guess some weeks are 7 days of manning a party, basically, from start to finish.
Yeah.
That is draining, like, in your brain cells, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's tough, man.
Yeah. But I love it because I love music. So, like, when I'm playing music, it makes me really happy. So, you know, it's... Yeah, I think it's also as well, like, I think trying to pick gigs that you really enjoy, which I'm really lucky enough to have got to a point where I can now. Like, I think when you start out sometimes, when you're first full-time... obviously you have to pay your rent, so you kind of can't afford to be quite as choosy as perhaps you'd want to. And I think, yeah, the more, obviously, like, a lot of people have a more specific kind of brand, you know, so they might be like a hip-hop DJ or they might be a house DJ or something. And yeah, I've yet to do that. I've yet to kind of specialise because I like too much different types of music, but yeah.
In a way, that must help though, because you could do so many different types of events and parties and stuff like that.
I've supported so many different types of people, you know? I've done like a soul and funk night with Craig Charles. I've supported Dave and Fredo doing like UK rap, which I absolutely love. I've done, you know, proper house sets, proper kind of, you know, tech house, techno sets. Obviously I do Propaganda, which I love, which is so much fun, and we've had some amazing guests there over the years, you know. So it's just, yeah, so any kind of type of music, I think it's just about what, you know, if it makes you happy, then, you know.
I completely agree. Like, I find it mad when people box themselves into liking one genre and try and take down anyone else that likes any other genre that they don't like.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Yeah. Like, let people like what they like. Because also, if everyone liked the same thing, you'd never get into the gig.
Right? Yeah. That is true.
But, so yeah. So you show a lot of confidence behind the decks in videos and on photos, but like with the big names and labels. But were you always like this? Were you always this confident?
No. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. I've always been quite talkative. Like, I've always talked a lot, but I think confidence, like, I do, yeah, it is quite nerve-wracking, like, when you have to get on a big stage and you're performing in front of however many people, you know. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a small, sometimes it can be scarier to do a smaller room when there's less people there, because everyone can see you, you know, and you can sort of say you can see the whites of their eyes.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. Like, when everyone can see you, it's sometimes a little bit more nerve-wracking than when you've got a bigger crowd. You can kind of, you can sort of look just off into the general ether, and you know, like, it's less kind of, yeah, intimidating. Intense. But yeah, it can be. I have got stage fright before, I think, you know. Yeah, I do struggle with it a little bit. But
do you think that social media helps with that or actually hinders it? Like, do you find that watching other people makes it worse or makes you feel more inspired?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, actually. Yeah, I struggle with social media. I find it hinders it quite a lot. Okay. Because I think it's, even though, like, I mean, I am definitely inspired by, you know, a lot of people on social media. I think it can be really amazing. But I think when you're in a kind of down mood, it kind of doesn't help. But yeah, no, I think when you're kind of in a mood, like, that's kind of, you're not feeling your best, sometimes social media doesn't really help that. Yeah. And the thing is, because it's not, you're not watching people's lives, you're watching people's best lives. Yep. You know, you're watching what they want you to see. And of course, it's all edited and it's all, you know, it's highlights. It's the highlights reel, isn't it? You know? Yeah. So it can be good and it can be bad, I think. But yeah.
Oh, I agree. I mean, Wayne, you don't really use social media that much. You've started using it a little more since this podcast.
But I am persona non grata on, like, social media. I don't know, like, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think in a weird way, as a dude, it's just kind of easier to not be, just sort of be anonymous. You can sort of blend in to some extent because I don't have to constantly be posting like selfies and whatnot. I don't know, like, you know, it's funny you were talking a bit about female DJs, because it reminded me a lot of, like, there was this discussion that I think, like, Olivia Wilde, and who did Booksmart, talking about, like, female directors and, like, the weight that comes with that title, and sort of like how for men, if a guy has a bad film or a male DJ has a bad set, then he just has a bad set. It's not like a blight upon his entire gender. But yeah, if a female DJ fucks up or a female director fucks up, then it's not just she messed up, her entire gender messed up, and therefore anyone who comes after her can't have that. And it's just like, that fucking sucks. And like with social media as well, it's sort of like, it's just this thing of like, you always have to be the most perfect, the prettiest, kind of just constantly all the time. It's just like, you can't sustain that. And like, I don't know, for me it's just, I guess as a dude, I can just sort of like say no, I don't need to sort of like get into it and indulge it. And like, but at the same time, I don't know, like, that's just not the way I am. Like, I don't know, I'm not really a sharer on social media, but I guess I'm more of a sharer just in real life. Like, I'll just talk to you if I'm not feeling a certain way or stuff like that. Like, I'll talk to people around me. I don't know, I feel like when you rely on social media to sort of be your therapist and sort of like help you out with all your problems, then that's a bad road, because there are some people who don't want to help you out and they are going to make it much, much worse for you.
And you forget how many people can see what you're posting half the time.
Yeah,
because you're not just talking to your close friends, and most people that would post something about their life or whatever want certain people to see it, but like the old lady down the road from when you were 6 years old is also reading it. It's like, it's a lot of people.
Although that would weird me out as well. It's like, oh, so what was on your Twitter feed? I'm sorry, what? You follow me and you're on Twitter. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Am I right in saying that you are currently moving into radio?
Yes, you are right indeed. So I decided to kind of take the plunge into radio because I want to kind of expand my musical journey, if you like. And I'm doing a course at Point Blank Music School, which I'm really, really enjoying. Shout out to those guys. It's amazing. You know, my lecturer is a radio presenter as well, and got so much experience. You know, he's like DJed on like One Extra and Kiss, and this is kind of the place I kind of want to be, really. Yeah. You know, like I just think that it could be something really interesting, you know, going forward. As much as I love club DJing, I wouldn't stop club DJing because I love it. Mm-hmm. But I would like to perhaps maybe slow down a little bit because I do work sort of 5-6 gigs a week. You know, it would be nice to be able to take a step back and, like I say, choose a little bit more carefully, mm-hmm. you know, and then have, you know, another area that I'm doing as well, let's say radio, mm-hmm. where I can still, you know, express myself musically and, you know, but...
Well, it's just you evolving, and that's the best way to evolve, is to take on things that you maybe you're a little bit nervous about, but actually work with everything else that you're doing already.
Yeah,
like, that's the only way you get more and more successful, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, it's about, I think it's about like building in all kind of areas, if you know, building kind of on yourself to be the best person you can be, really. You know, mm-hmm. you're happy with, I don't know, I like skills, I like acquiring skills. It's been all about the skills, you know, like when I was at school I really liked languages, so like whenever I go abroad I was trying to learn a bit of the language so I can like talk to somebody. I like the idea of like skills, you know, and I'm technically like, since DJing I've like, you know, learned how to use a lot of the kind of software. I mean, I use USBs to DJ, but I know how to use the DJ software, I know how to use editing software, you know, production software, this kind of thing, and it's all, you know, an extra skill which kind of helps, you know, your overall, I don't want to say brand, but your overall kind of, you know,
you
being. Yeah, you.
It makes you versatile, doesn't it?
Yeah. More opportunities.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. And I listen to radio like all the time, like I always have it on. And I was just thinking, you know what? I like talking.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I could do this, and I love music, and yeah, I just think that it could be something.
Well, it just goes hand in hand, really. Mm. It works perfectly.
Yeah, I think so.
And I know we had a conversation as well, I think it was on the phone, about you're slightly concerned about your radio voice, but I also think, like, it works. And it's like relatable and just, you know. Well,
this is because like when, so like in college, like we have to keep like practicing, like talking on the radio. Mm. So we go in the studio and record little shows and stuff. And at first I found it really difficult to be natural because I was either doing like my club voice, which would be like, you're listening to Jem Precious in the house, yeah, you know, like you're in the mix with Jem. Or it would be like this really weird, like old school kind of like, you know, disc jockey, like Tony Blackburn voice, be like, you're listening to Jem Precious and welcome to... I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, what's wrong with me? Like, why can't I just be normal? So yeah, struggling to be normal.
But listen, relatability... Like, yeah. I said to you as well, like, I think you should incorporate all of that because people get it. And in itself, that's funny. Yeah. I would listen to that.
Just my crazy voice.
Yeah, different voices.
Yeah, listening to Jem Precious.
A bit like Alan Partridge as well.
Oh my God. So, yeah, sometimes I sat in the studio and, you know, when, like, you're talking to yourself on the radio and you're like, I do feel a bit Alan Partridge. It's too loud.
Yeah. I feel like if I had like a radio DJ persona, I'd probably just want to be like Barry Scott.
Barry Scott.
From the Till It Bang advert.
Just Barry like, Scott.
Good morning, lads. My name's Wayne, and you're here this morning.
I think I could work quite well, actually. Yeah. I think there's a gap in the market for a Barry Scott
bang.
I feel like could, like, first 30 minutes I could sustain it. Like hour two, oh boy. It's going to be real bad.
It's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
We're almost finished already.
No.
So thank you so much for joining us. It's been a long time coming. We've been talking about this for ages. Where can people find you online?
Well, thank you for having me, first of all.
Yeah.
Polite. So online, you can find my Instagram is at Jem Precious. So G for Gemma, E for Emma, M for Memma. Precious. there's no excuse now to spell it wrong, you know. And then I've got Mixcloud as well, Gem Precious. Yeah, I'm not on Twitter that much. I think my Instagram shares to my Twitter, but I am on Twitter, but I don't tend to tweet.
Okay,
if that makes sense. I'm more like Instagram stories. And then, yeah, my Mixcloud. But I'm going to be making a new series of mixes, you know, kind of. I feel like I haven't updated it in a while, so I want to kind of start a new series. I call my mixes Precious Gems.
Yeah, like so, that. Works.
Yep. Not just a hat rack. So I'm going to be making a few more of those, like, especially coming up to 2020, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like charting the next decade musically going forward. From 2020, it's a really exciting time at the moment, especially in the UK. Like, you know, like I'm massively into UK rap. I think it's just like it's such an exciting time for music and for our scene. So yeah, I'm going to be doing more mixes on there.
Wicked.
Mixcloud.
Well, you guys need to make sure that you keep up to date with the upcoming trends in music, etc., etc. And Gem is your girl. We have a question from a listener. Will you help us?
If I can.
So she wants to know, sorry, her name is Rachel Sanders, and she wants to know, how do you stop industry cliques from discouraging your pursuit your goal? Yeah,
how do you stop industry cliques from,
so I think people, so maybe like influencer gangs or whatever, and you're trying to get into being an influencer, you know, how everyone's in a group of friends and they don't really let other people in. I think that's what that means. Yeah. So how do you stop basically gangs like Mean Girls, stop them from discouraging you to pursue your goal?
That's a really interesting question, actually. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rachel. Yeah, I would say just be 100% true to yourself. Don't try and be somebody else. I think that's the main thing. Like, find you, because mm-hmm. you are unique. We're all unique, you know. But in the music industry, it's like it's easy to kind of maybe pretend, you know, to try and be somebody that you're not, and it you won't be as kind of committed to it. So definitely be yourself. I think don't let other people bring you down, you know. Don't let anyone, do not let anybody tell you what you can and can't do. Definitely, if you want to DJ, go for it. You can get software, you can get like free software like Virtual DJ. You can get a little thing on your phone, there's an app called DJAY. You can get on your phone and you can just start like even trying to beat match on your phone. Like, it's, you know, if you want to do it badly enough, then, you know, don't let anybody discourage you. That's what I would say.
Wayne?
Yeah. I honestly, I don't have much experience with industry cliques, but I am a very big fan of wrestling, and cliques and groups are a big part of wrestling. So what I can say is, groups like D-Generation X, back in the late 90s, they were running things. But you know who stopped them? Stone Cold Steve Austin. And you know how he did that? He dropped an entire cinder block onto their tour bus and destroyed it. So that may be the way to go.
Oh,
no, I'm
Lord.
Kidding. Don't do that. That's,
please
that's,
don't do that.
That's a crime, and you will go to jail. And jail is not—it's not fun. It's not fun. No. It's really not fun.
No, God. Wayne, you're a liability for this show.
No crimes, but I don't know. Like,
what
I guess
it is a cinder block. I'm not even sure I know. It's like a breeze block,
like grey, like bigger than a brick.
Breeze block.
I'm describing it terribly. Yeah, it's just huge.
Don't drop anything heavy on anyone's tour bus.
No.
Yes, don't do that. That's criminal damage.
Okay.
I don't know if I speak seriously. I don't know. Like, cliques are, I don't know, cliques and stuff like that. It's all very high school, but as you grow up and you realize, the world is just really one big high school, and cliques are always about. But that can only ever last for so long, and they can only ever assert dominance for so long, because after a while they will be exposed. And, you know, all you can really do is stay true to yourself, believe in what you're good at, and never doubt, I don't know, just don't doubt your talent, and always be kind, always be nice to people. That's always a great one. And just, you know, I don't know, don't indulge them. You know, most of it is they want a reaction out of you, and they sort of want to get you into a place where they can sort of say, well, see, look what I told you about them, and don't give them that satisfaction. Mm. Yeah, just, you know, fob them off.
Yeah.
And eventually they will die out, because at some point there will be infighting and they will break apart, and then there's going to be drama on top of drama. It's like a drama, you know. It's like squaring drama on top of drama on top of drama. Just don't indulge it.
Yeah, people fine. Band together when they're scared, don't they? They want sort of security, and it's like, don't let that.
And just make sure you have like a good support system. You know, people who are around you, who know who you are and respect you and love you for who you are, and can just, you know, get you through tougher times. Because, like, you know, there are always those people around, and it's always good to have a solid group who can just help you.
Yeah, there's a lot of support, like, you know, people supporting each other. You know, I'd say like with DJing Suicide Girls, you know, shout out to Crimson and Rebecca Crow as well. They, you know, they've been instrumental in kind of, you know, building a really safe space for women in particular, you know, and kind of just, you know, anyone can kind of come to the event and feel like, you know, they can kind of, you know, have a really kind of be part of the group, you know, part of it. And I think that's really important.
So there are positive groups out there, but with the negative ones, going back to what you said, Wayne, they will be exposed, and half the time I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking over their shoulder because they're too scared to leave the room, because they probably know that they're not really friends. They're just banding together. So
you know, like DJ Khaled once famously said, don't ever play yourself.
Right, on that note, thank you for listening. Jem, thank you for joining us. Wayne, thank you for being Wayne. And we will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.